Pleasant Sabbath, church. Indeed, when we call on Jesus, all things are possible. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, I'm available to you. I ask that you may use me like you never used me before. And dear Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will be with us. And dear Lord, I pray that as you speak through me, that your people will take heed of your word and not give me the glory, but you, Lord. Dear Lord, you deserve all glory. Let your will be done. Amen. Today's sermon is entitled, Reflecting God's Image. First, let us analyze our keywords for today. We have reflecting and image. According to the English dictionary, reflect means to show an image of. Image is a representation of a person or a thing. In order for something to be reflected, there must be an object or a person. For example, if you put the Bible in front of a mirror, then the Bible will be reflected. Am I right? Good. Church, when you look into the mirror, what do you see? Self. S-E-L-F. Self is our greatest threat. It is no wonder that Paul says in Galatians 2:20, and I quote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. End of quote. We often struggle to do what is right. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, let us read. Good. Matthew 24, 16 records Jesus speaking to his disciples on the topic of self. Jesus himself realized that he could not fulfill God's purpose on earth without daily intercession. Jesus pleaded with God for strength to overcome daily temptation by Satan. And we can see this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark 1, verse 35. Let's read. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Are we too busy to pray? If yes, no wonder we have so little power. There's a famous quotation, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. The question is asked in the book, Revive Us Again, page 16. If Jesus, the divine Son of God, understood that prayer is necessary, don't we need prayer much more in our own lives? Like Jesus, we should recognize that our inner spiritual strength comes through prayer. Do we only pray when a need or problem arises? Prayer is the key to stay connected to God or to renew our relationship with God. The devil, and I quote, the devil is no match for the praying, trusting child of God, end of quote. God has given us his promise in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And we'll read this together. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Let's go. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Prayer is indeed the weapon to defeat the powers of hell. Life is filled with so many stressful situations, such as teenage pregnancy, rebellion, financial constraint, loneliness, just to name a few. Our youths and adults alike have somehow adapted some trends. For example, some females tend to polish their nails and some males tend to plait their hair. Church, are these trends of God? No. Are we afraid to say no? It is no. If God wanted our nails polished, he would have done them himself. Similarly, you may say that there were males in the Bible who had long hair, which is true, but their hair was for a special purpose, not a style. Following the above trends are wrong, but how we deal with them makes the difference. We need to ask God for guidance so that we can have T-A-C-T, tact, when speaking to these persons. In doing so, we will fulfill the love of Jesus, which leads to righteousness. In the book, Messages to Young People, chapter 5, under the caption, Our Day of Opportunity, page 35, it states, righteousness within is testified by righteousness without. He who is righteous within is not hard-hearted and unsympathetic, but day by day he grows in the image of Christ, going on from strength to strength. He who is being sanctified by the truth will be self-controlled and will follow in the footsteps of Christ until grace is lost in glory. The righteousness by which we are sanctified is imparted. The first is our title to heaven. The second is our fitness for heaven. This can be seen also in Review and Herald, June 4, 1895. Previously, for our scripture reading, we read John 8, 1-11, which tells us that a woman was caught in adultery and she was brought to Jesus. Jesus gave an unexpected response of compassion rather than condemnation. Church, after we have been corrected, should we adhere to Jesus' instruction, which says, go and sin no more. This was surely done in love. Love makes a difference in our lives. Let me read that again. Love makes a difference in our lives. Give it and you'll receive it. Entertainment seems to be the order of the day. Many persons seem to be guided by the music of Tommy Lee, Popcorn, Movado, Vibes Cartel, and Nicki Minaj. Statistics have shown that many popular athletes, actors, or singers have been suffering from depression and loneliness. Quite often, these persons display self-destructive behaviors. We often say, I can't believe that such actress, such as Whitney Houston, has killed herself by drug overdose, or I can't believe that it was a suicide. Ask yourself this question. If these persons were really happy, would the above examples be a result of happiness? Answer up, no. In the book Adventist Home, chapter 64, with the subcaption Enticing Sights and Sound, page 407, it states, under the subtopic, The Law of Popular Music, it states, I feel alarmed as I witness everywhere the frivolity of young men and young women who profess to believe the truth. God does not seem to be in their thoughts. Their minds are filled with nonsense. Their conversation is only empty, vain talk. They have a keen ear for music, and Satan knows what organs to excite, to animate, engross, and charm the mind so that Christ is not desired. The spiritual longings of the soul for divine knowledge, for growth is grace, are wanting. We are church, we are called to a higher standard, to make the word of God, as in the Bible, our guide. Just imagine, our country is experiencing a decline in physical food. What will happen to you and me? The decline in physical food is similar to that of spiritual food. We cannot live without it for too long. Do we consult the Bible when we are making our decisions? The Bible is our manual on earth. Without it, we will be like sheep without a shepherd. In the book, Michael asks why. It states that the Bible was taken away from the early Christians. Persons such as John Huss and Jerome died because they were proclaiming, "Thus said the Lord." Can you imagine these same people when they were being persecuted, as in they were tied at the stake, they were singing songs to glorify God? Church, how many of us would have been able to do such a thing, singing glory to God, and we are tied, we are being burnt to the stake? We in the 21st century are privileged. You hear, we are privileged to have the Bible, and yet some of us are allowing it to gather dust. Is this what God wants? Therefore, let us feast on that which is good, so that we can be fairer and fatter in King Jesus. Amen. To conclude, God has called us to be different from the world. Let me read that again. God has called us to be different from the world. Amen. This is why he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Jesus is whispering, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." End of quote. Are you willing to give Jesus your heart so that you can reflect his image today and always? If so, please stand as an act of recommitment.